Starbuck. I didn't need correcting.
Shut up!
Order!
Order! Let's start off as we need to go on.
We can see a better future.
So it's not a competition who can shout the loudest.
Hello, I'm Ashan, and you're listening to the Left Wingers podcast, where an unashamedly left-wing political podcast made by activists for us.
Welcome to another episode of Whinging Wednesday. This should be the third in what is now the fifth season of the Left Wingers. I almost can't believe we're going on for five seasons, but I'm very excited about what this year has to come. So this week we're going to be reacting to the top news stories of the week, and I think we're going to have to start with, unfortunately, the obvious, which is Prince Harry's book called Spare. Now, usually we only talk about political things and things that happen in the Labour political world, but there's no doubt about it. This book has just taken the world by storm, and irrelevant to the fact that it's not actually a part of Labour Party politics, I think we'd be stupid to not bring it up. So, Ashan, have you bought your copy? If so, what do you think?
I actually have not. I don't really care about stuff like that, I'll be honest, but it's impossible. It's like I've been forced to know everything that's happened. Like it's impossible to escape it. It's really weird. I quite enjoy actually the fake. I don't know if you've seen, he's also released an audiobook, and I quite enjoy the fake snippets of people pretending to be Harry and saying really stupid things, because obviously the book is really stupid as well. I don't know why he's talking about half the stuff he's talking about, but when they make the fake memes about it, they're quite funny. But other than that, I'm not really that fussed. This seems like a bit of family drama that everyone has, but apparently it needs to air it to the world for a bit of money, I suppose.
We actually had a conversation before we started this podcast about whether we wanted to talk about this, and I do think we have to speak about it, but only very briefly, because I think it would be stupid to acknowledge that it's not happening. But to be quite honest with you, I won't read the book. I didn't watch the Netflix show. I probably won't be watching anything like that. I will be taking the weekend off for the King's coronation next year. That's for sure. If that's a bank holiday, then I'll be cashing in on that. But beyond that, I'm not too bothered, except what I'd say is it really makes the royal family just seem like a very, it just, everyone has similar problems, I feel like. And I know obviously it's blown out of proportion because they're royals and it's a lot more money and it's a lot more power and tradition, but actually, you know, there's no, if you change the word, if you change the names on the list, I'm convinced that you could definitely make a drama out of it in another part of the world, and that there's nothing that's different. You know, there's nothing that's changed. I would say I've definitely seen a lot about it on social media and things that I actually just never wanted to know. Like I'm not even gonna go into what I'm saying, but I think you guys know what I'm saying, and I don't want to know. I never want to know again. I didn't ask to know. It's vile. Just keep it in your pants, big man. Like, please, God, keep it in your pants. So I would say I just don't care. It just can't make me care. What I did think was really strange, though, was I was on my way to a meeting in central London, and I walked by Oxford Street and there's huge water stones. I'll show Ashan the picture after we finish recording. And it was this entire, like this water stones, and it was huge water stones, like one of those flagship stores. And it just had that one book in the window. And the window was easily the size of a double-decker bus. Like, if you just think, and it was just that book, it was nothing else. And I just remember thinking, like, wow, is there nothing else? Like, is that the only thing people are reading? Which is sad, I guess.
Were people actually queuing up to buy it?
No, they weren't. But then I went, no, but I did go, I was there at like 3 p.m. and it was last week. So I guess we're maybe like a week late, but it was just, like, the entire window was just full of, obviously, so the title, the picture on the book is his face, and it was just that, like, a blown-up version of his face. It's like, Prince Harry, spare. I'd also say, and this is just purely from a socialist perspective, like, read the room, you know? Like, people are literally struggling between heating and eating, and there are, like, people waiting in ambulances dying because we can't organise our NHS, and there are teachers, and everyone seems to be going on strike at the minute. We seem to be going through another season of that, and everyone seems to be struggling more than almost any other time in my life. And I think when that happens, you have to, a good PR team would have sat back and said, okay, like, let's let's look at the situation before we start complaining about how hard our lives are. And I would even say, like, just for me, I've definitely taken into context other things that have happened in the past couple of weeks in the context of, like, well, actually, there are several people that I know of that are just financially struggling, just so unbelievably difficult. Like, their lives are just so tough at the minute, and they're good people trying to do good things. So I'd say read the room. That's, I think, would be my final comment. And
I would also say, at the same time, it is their fault. We also should probably blame a lot of the media for hyping it up. I don't think, you know, I mean, if you can't blame people for having to hoover it up if every single newspaper on a Saturday, Sunday morning has got it plastered on their front page. And I thought that was a bit, as you said, not very well read, not very good room reading from the mainstream media. But whenever is it, I suppose. The one I'm going to spin this to try and make it a little bit positive.
Go on then.
It gives people a bit of escapism. So if they're having a tough time, they go, oh, at least he's having a shit time as well. So, you know.
That's actually a fair point. That's actually quite nice.
It's a bit of a stretch.
If engineering doesn't work out for you, I think we've got the we've got the career in mind, that's for sure.
That's what you should have released it. Like, guys, I know it's shit for you.
I know you're having a tough time.
It could be worse for a prince, you know.
But look at this.
I only got the second biggest room in Kensington Palace, like the Hellies were saying. Yeah.
To declare, I'm the eldest child of two, and we have a dog who's basically like the golden child, but big, big, small child energy, like big, little brother energy, big, like, there's no, that would not have been written by an elder child. From the extracts I've read, I can tell you. Are you for the sure. eldest, Ashan? Have you got
anything? Yeah, I've got a younger brother, so I know how. I bet he has Prince Harry syndrome as well, that's what I'm going to call it, every time he.
Do you reckon it's a little bit of that in everyone? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so. Not saying I'm Prince William, but I am.
Nah. No, your hair is so much better. Ashan's got great hair, just to clarify everyone.
Thank you.
As does everyone that hosts the lounges.
Yeah,
have you ever seen Anchorman, Ashan?
I have.
I like the scene. One of my favourite scenes of all time is like where they start beating each other up and they're like, stop, no touching of the hair, eyes or face. It's like, of course, we're not savages. And it's like this whole thing of like, you can actually just kill somebody, but obviously just keep the face, like keep the hair, keep the face, which I actually just think is one of my favourite things.
Yeah, okay. No, I get you. I was going to say, surely if you're trying to kill someone, the face is the best way to
go. You'd think, but like, because they're all newsreaders that they're like,
you know,
you go to their contacts, they're like, no touching of the hair, eyes or face.
Yeah, they're very vain.
Yeah, exactly.
Should we move on from Prince Harry?
I think we're going to have to. So now we move on to the actual news of the week, which is strike a match because we're back at it again. Everyone seems to be walking out and it's absolute carnage. You know, Ashan, what are your thoughts?
I don't really have any thoughts. I suppose it's just a natural consequence of people struggling and wanting it better. And be it rail workers, driving examiners, teachers this week, nurses, ambulance drivers, everyone is struggling, as you said. And if you're in a union, I do recommend joining one, but it's one of the better ways to try and leverage your employer or the government to give you a better deal. And that's just a natural consequence of it. And it also doesn't help that the Tories are sort of doubling down on a weird Thatcherite sort of thinking and just going, instead of actually trying to solve the problem, they're just going to call them all evil and hope it works. But they don't realise that actually, unlike the late 80s or mid 80s, it's actually not as unpopular as people think to go on strike. Well, not as popular as unpopular as Tories think it is.
I honestly think the pandemic has just sped this up a lot. And I think a lot more people have empathy for, especially the work the emergency services do, because we saw that firsthand in the pandemic. I know obviously pay is a huge part of many of the issues, but I actually don't think it's all about money. I really get the feeling, especially from walking around Westminster, that there's just a lack of respect in the Conservative Party and a lack of understanding for what people are trying to do. And I think a lot about those hardworking families who some might be listening to this podcast, but I think everyone knows somebody who's, you know, a doctor or a nurse or an ambulance driver or a paramedic, you know, or a teacher. They've just had it really tough over the past few years, more than any other period really in modern history. And I think even if the government couldn't give them the money that they wanted, I think even just the act of sitting down the table with them and giving them some basic respect, I think would be such a good start. And I mean, separate to that point, what I was going to definitely say to Ashan is, so we know we've got a lot of young listeners. And I also know that the UCU have announced an 18-day strike in February and March, which is just unheard of. I mean, I can't, it's just phenomenal that you're, you know, just unbelievable. And what we'd actually love to do, if possible, is have some kind of debate between people who are, if any students support the strike or don't support the strike, or if you have an opinion on it, or if you're a student at a university, what are your thoughts on higher education? What are your thoughts? Who is to blame? Like, what system can we have to reform this? Because it's clearly not working. And I know it's one of those things that I'm unfortunately in the working world now, but I know that a lot of the people, including obviously my co-host here, I know that you guys are in the thick of it. So definitely, if you know of anyone or you're listening to this, send us a DM, because we'd actually love to hear.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from people as well. Because I often think that it's a bit of a difficult one, because everyone supports the right to strike and has lots of empathy for lecturers, support staff, people, librarians, porters, all the rest of them. But also there is this effect on people graduating as well. And I've seen a lot of animosity between people. And I feel the government, problem is in this sector, the government don't really care, because at universities themselves, because at the end of the day, they're making a killing off students, and particularly international students who are going to come to British universities no matter what. And when, I suppose, lecturers and academic staff and support staff do walk out, the government don't really have the incentive to deal with it, because they know at the end of the day, it's not really affecting their life as much, their sort of economy as much as other areas of the workforce. So it is a real difficult one. But I myself am supporting my academics going on strike, and I've spoken to a few of them, and they are really struggling, and it's just a difficult situation for everyone, like we've said.
Yeah, exactly. But then I definitely support the strikes. I 100% support that. I think it's just people should be able to withdraw their labour under certain conditions. I completely respect that. 18 days is a long time.
Yeah, it's
18 days is basically a working month.
Yeah, and actually the problem is, at this time of year when people have got dissertations to write,
exactly,
and young people, and I know myself, but so I got lucky, I suppose, in the sense that my courses and university have been quite good, but I know a lot of places that are still going through the aftershocks of COVID with very poor contact hours, on top of the original complete loss of contact hours in the first year or two of their lives, and this is just not helping. It's a really hard one.
I've definitely, one of the things I've been really disappointed in is the education, I think she's the education minister, Gillian Keegan, has done like several interviews where it's just like, she said something the other week which I just almost fell over. I couldn't even believe she was saying it on national television. It was something that, along the lines of, I met the universities, I met the unions when I was back in the office on January 9th. I was like, well, hang on, that's the date when Parliament was off recess. Absolutely. That was not the first working day of the year. The first working day was the third. And if you have a job or you're a student or whatever it is that you do, you are back up and at it on the third. So it was like, so you waited a week for Parliament to be sitting, but you're a minister 365 days of the year. You can't, it's not to an extent where you can just be like, oh, well, it's the first week of the new year, so I'm not doing anything. I just kind of, I heard that and I was like, that's so weird that you'd be like, oh, well, we have to wait because Parliament's not in session. Like, what, the building is closed? Like, no, of course it isn't. Zoom exists. You can pull people in. Like, absolutely, of course, first week of January, it's really hard to get things organised. I completely have empathy with that. No reason why you can't do a Zoom call. No reason at all. Even if it was just to chat with them and you say, like, look, we'll have a conversation. We're probably not going to agree, but I think it's best we sit around the table, even virtually. Weird behaviour.
It is.
From someone clearly not on top of their brief, which I don't quite understand why she's been given this brief, as she is not on top of it, which she clearly seems like she isn't. And
I feel like you could say that about a lot of Tory ministers right now. We'll see. Well, it's still not set in stone if it'll go ahead, but I hope it does get resolved for the sake of students, lecturers, and I suppose everyone surrounding that field as well.
Yeah, Yeah, I hope so too. And I also, we were speaking today, the team, and we said February is just going to be a crazy, I think it's the RMT, but there's several cross-sector, cross-society, cross-income levels are just not, are just beginning their industrial action on February the 1st. I don't know, it's almost insane, really, but I mean, it's just...
The NEU passed their ballot for the...
yeah, I saw that this morning.
I think that will have the largest effect on, I suppose, the economy as a whole, because you've got parents who are now going to have to find childcare as well, which I imagine they'll have to pay for. And teachers have had it rough for God knows how long. And it's hard to balance everything, you know?
It's just so sad for working parents. I completely understand the way the teachers are doing it, but I just think if I was a single mum, I'd just be absolutely on my knees here. Nothing's working. I was sent a letter, not even an important one, and it was dated the 28th of December, and I got it yesterday. It was taken 3 weeks for a letter, and it wasn't even abroad. It was from Leicester. It was like,
yeah.
It was just how has it taken 3.5 weeks for a letter to be delivered? It's insane.
Well, I've been the similar thing where I sent my passport to be renewed. Not that I luckily need it, because I'm not going to be able to go anywhere or do anything. It's been lost in the post for the last like 3 months due to the fact the strikes have been so on and off. So that it just affects every part of life, and when you don't think it would. And I think we talk about teachers. The one thing I read today is that only 10 to 15 teachers are training to be physics teachers. And that's someone who does STEM and engineering. This year, there's only going to be 15 new physics teachers in the entire country, which is incredible if you think about it.
That's absurd.
Considering that Rishi Sunak and the Tories are completely obsessed with skills, data, all this sort of crap he was putting out a couple of weeks ago that we talked about on a previous episode about math skills, you'd think they'd be doing better at recruiting and maintaining a decent STEM teaching workforce. And it's hard to look positive going forward.
You know, it's interesting. I was having a conversation with a friend about this, and I actually said to her, and this is somewhat brutal, but I work in politics. I've worked in politics the past 3 or 4 years. You can't really do politics. Yes, you can do other things. Like you can work remotely. You can work in Manchester, of course, or Scotland or Wales. Absolutely. Of course you can. A lot of the job is based around Westminster or SW1 or London. I'm lucky enough to be a Londoner, so that suits my needs. If I worked in marketing, anything similar to what I do, but not what I do, so marketing, HR, PR, anything where it's like you just work for a UK company, they don't need you in once or twice, like they need you in maybe once or twice a month, there is no way I'd be living in the UK. Why? What's the point? You live in London, 60% of your rent, of your income's going on rent before you even begin. And you'll probably not even get that much of a place. And that's before everything else. It's before the cost of living. It's before, you know, I do love being a Londoner, but I have lots of friends who are thinking of moving and are leaving. And, you know, why would you not work in Seville? Why would you not work in Barcelona if you spoke Spanish why would you not? It's a cheaper quality of life. The weather's better. It's nicer. The people are not like, and you could just fly in twice a month.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. I was looking at train tickets from getting from home to London for a seminar and internship for the summer that I'm hoping to get. It would actually be cheaper to live. I was talking to my friend who's from Paris. It'd be cheaper to live in Paris and fly to London twice a week than it is to get a train from Bristol or Birmingham to London at the moment. Anyway, I know that's not a great example, but it just shows how ridiculous everything is.
Absurd. I think we'll look back on this period as like an absolutely crazy time. I just can't, I think it will calm down sooner or later. Like the government, sooner or later, the government will have to start caving in. And I also have a feeling, and I haven't got this from anywhere, but I was just thinking about it this morning. If this carries on in 6 months' time and Rishi Sunak's poll ratings are where they currently are, where they currently are at now, so if nothing changes, I don't think he's going to be in a job. If somehow the public change their mind and they start saying, actually, we're finished with the strikers or we're done, or the strikers stop, or like whatever happens. But I'm quite confident, and I don't know whether number 10 has realised it, but I really can't see, if this carries on, he's not going to be Prime Minister by the end of the year, because there's just no way they'll win the next general election. There has to be, the Conservatives now will look for Rishi to do something. He needs to act quite drastically. He's taking massive action in order to change the outcome, which is currently the Conservatives will lose their majority and there'll be a Labour majority government. I just don't know how he's going to...
It's the horrific thing is for everyone else, no matter what political party you're doing, there doesn't appear to be anyone any better than Rishi Sunak. Like, he's dreadful, don't get me wrong. I'm not supporting him here. But there doesn't seem to be as someone who can unify that party to pass bills to actually get anything done, let alone win an election in a year or half a year or 2 years. So it's going to be interesting. And actually the saddest bit I find as someone who's hoping the Tories lose or continue to do badly, but not too badly, is that should a Labour government come in, it would be just such a shit show in government and the economy and up and down the country that we'll spend 5 years from our finals before we could even do anything remotely positive, which is not great. But we'll see what happens. I'm still positive.
No, I'm exceptionally positive. But if I was sitting in number 10, I'd say I would turn around to Rishi and say, you've got to do something really quickly. Something has to happen. Someone's got to give. Somebody's got to come around the table. I think you could maybe maintain this position for 6 months and then I think you've got a problem. And they'll definitely want... Yeah, there's got to be some change. If the polls are what they are now in June, July, no, like, there's just no way Rishi's taking them into the next election. And then I think there's a bigger question on who steps back in, I think.
Yeah, true. I wonder what his long-term strategy is. Do you have any insights on that? Because he didn't appear to have one.
No, I think he's definitely... So what I can tell you is that he's definitely done more in terms of strong, stable, you can trust me. His personal poll ratings are a lot higher than the Conservative Party's. And I think they're relying on that a lot. And I think it's very much like a calm, safe pair of hands. And the banking industry, to be fair to them, has taken that on board quite well. So they're kind of stabilising a lot. But I worry the Trustonomics is just absolutely... I don't know how long it will take for us to recover from that. And I think we maybe only will just see this time next year, we'll begin to see the output of what that 6 week crazy period had for us. Yeah, I think he's got to really calm things down. He's got this has got to stop. Things have got to begin to get back to normal. Otherwise, I think his job's on the line. And the Tories will get rid of him. Like, they're savage. We've said this almost every single podcast. The Conservatives, unlike the Labour Party, the Conservatives will just get rid of you as soon as they want to. And there's absolutely, there's no loyalty. There's no like, oh, we'll give them a chance. There is no chance. You perform or you leave. And I generally believe they will find somebody else to do the job.
Okay, as a little bit of a game to finish. So we're both assuming that Rishi, unless something miraculous happens, he's going to be gone sooner rather than later, in maybe like a year's time, either election or kicked out by his own party. Mm-hmm. Who do you think would be, if it wasn't a Labour person, as in a general election, who do you think would be most likely to replace him, the Tory party? As someone, you're a bit of an insider. So
Boris Johnson.
You think?
Absolutely. He's gone to the Bahamas or wherever. He's gone to have a little chill out in the seashells. And now he's coming back and he wants, because he thinks, like, we said this at the time, he thinks that was the end of his first premiership. Many prime ministers have come back for more than one, and he thinks that he's one of those people.
In the last 100 years, well, since the Second World War, there's not been anyone who's been prime minister twice. There has, but not in the sense that they got removed by their own party and came back. That would be unprecedented.
I think it's well on, because, first of all, there's only 326 of them. And then you know that 100 people have already voted for Boris because he got over that threshold last year. And they said that, Graham Brady said that he'd reached the threshold. So you already know 1 in 3 people are going to vote for him because they did that last time. And then you know that he is the only Conservative leader to have won an outright majority in almost 10 years. If his poll ratings are higher than Keir's, I think they'll go for him. And I don't know who else can step back in. If Rishi goes, I don't know who can step back in. I don't know. I don't think Kemi Badenoch has done enough since she lost the leadership. I don't think Penny Morton's done enough. I don't know who could do it. I don't necessarily know who could come back. Ashan, what do you think?
I'm just going to ask you one more thing, and I'll give you my idea. Even if the economy stays as it is, do you think he'd actually have a chance to win an election?
I don't think he'd win, but I think he'd give it a really good go. And I think that's all the Conservatives need, is they need the winner. They need someone who's a winner, which is what he is. is because I think why they got rid of him, honestly, is because they thought he wasn't going to win. And the like, if you brand yourself as something and then you're not that, you're in trouble. So I think if he can come back and say, listen, I made mistakes, I'm really sorry, we've moved on, I've learned things, I've gone away, I've done all this work on myself, I'm back now, I know what it takes to win because I've done it before. And if you want to win again, this is how I'm going to do it. And I led this country through our darkest of times, and I can do it again, and here's how. Like, I think I wouldn't vote for him. I will never vote for that man. But I think you can make a really good argument.
It would be right up his street, because he loves Winston Churchill, and he's someone who's come back with that absolutely. Exact similar type of slogan to say, an economic slump, I can get us through it after doing it again, after having done it before. I think it'll be someone like, they'll get someone managerial in again, I reckon. I don't think they'll let anyone.
But then they could do that. But then if Keir Starmer wins the next election, the Conservatives are in opposition and they've got to elect a leader, and then Boris will go again.
I think that strategically that'll probably be better than getting Boris in now.
I don't think that there's any, in his head, I think he just thinks, I'll be back at some point. Like, I'm gone now. I've done it before. I know the ropes now. It's taken me a little bit of time to get used to it. I know what I'm doing. And the Conservative, the majority of those Tory MPs, remember, haven't been in opposition because they're all relatively new. They're the fifth, like 10, 15, 17 and 19 intakes. So they're new and they've never done opposition before. And opposition is so difficult. And I think he can round them up and say, listen, I've already been the Prime Minister. I've already won a general election. You can trust me because I've done it before. And it wouldn't have been that long ago that he did that. Even if our election's in 24, 25, he can say, I won a general election 5 years ago. And he'd be right to say that. So, unfortunately, I'm going to predict a comeback for Boris at some point. Ashan, who do you think?
I think that by the time they call another leadership election, it will come at the same time as an actual general election. I reckon that's what's going to happen. And then they'll panic pick Boris. Now that you convinced me a little bit that they'll panic pick Boris. Especially if they keep it away from members, Boris will win. And if they give it to the members, Boris will definitely win. So it's a bit of a dead rubber now, I think about it.
And I think sometimes you also have to ask, who's the competitor? And nobody screams out.
And they all hate Jeremy Hunt, the Tory members, anyway. They all think
he's they can't bear him.
What's to call it? They're obsessed with the WEF, the World Economic Forum, and globalism, and they think he's like a stooge of it or something.
Okay, I feel like we've spent this entire podcast not talking about the Labour Party, mostly because the Labour Party is really boring at the minute, because there's supposed to be a reshuffle last week, and they didn't bloody do it. Unfortunately, that's all we've got enough time for, but we did get in a lot of Tory bashing, which obviously makes me delighted on a Wednesday. If you enjoyed listening to us, please give us a retweet, share this with your friends, download it, send it to a pal, and let us know what you thought of it, because we're always keen to hear more about what you guys think. We're back now, hopefully doing weekly uploads, and we can't wait to speak to you in the future weeks and months. We did say last week that we would be opening up an application process to find more hosts. We will be doing that in the next few weeks, so keep your eyes peeled.
Anyway, keep whinging, and we'll see you soon.